Romans chapter 5. Sixth book in the New Testament there. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We'll read these responsively. I'll read the odd verses. You'll join me out loud on the even verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I'll read the odd verses if you'll join out loud with me on the even verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our faith, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And let's pray. God, we ask you, please be with us. Lord, I enjoy and I love having the Bible open, being able to learn from you. And Lord, I thank you so much for a pastor. I ask you, please continue to guide as he preaches this evening. Lord, help us to put the cares of this life behind us and help us to focus wholly on what you have for us to learn. I ask you, continue to guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I want to help you tonight. We live in a society that's very unsettled. Nobody's satisfied with anything. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. All I want is peace. I'm searching for peace. May I say something? Most people don't understand what peace means. What they're saying is they're searching for tranquility, not peace. Peace is the result of war. Peace is a result of a battle. Peace is what comes after conflict. Tranquility means everything is still and quiet. Now, it may be still and quiet after the war's over because nobody's left standing. But there was a price paid to get there. The world seems to be seeking peace. Good night. You got all the problems in the Middle East, and you got all the world against Israel and Netanyahu, and they want to try him for war crimes for defending his own people. You've got people in America that want to protest against Israel and for Hamas. Can I tell you something? That's a bunch of educated idiots. I love what President Trump said this week. Let's just level the whole thing out and turn it into a big shopping mall. That's pretty much so what he said. He said, well, we'll own it. He didn't mean that we were going to go over there and purchase the land. He said we'd go over there and put stores up and help do things to and promote it worldwide. By the way, don't let the creeps move back in there. That's what's happened all these years, and we're in the same cycle. They have a war for a while, we kill them, they raise up another generation, and we have to kill them again. Let's just get rid of them and turn it into a big money-making district that will profit the whole world and go forward. That's what it was intended to be. Look at the United Nations. Look at the Middle East Peace Accord and all the Russia and Ukraine and all the different things. Can I tell you, there's only one way to have peace, and you find it. You know, we've seen it take place just in recent months. You don't get it with a spineless, suitless, backboneless leader in America saying, let's all talk and let's give everybody money. It comes when the incoming president says, if you don't let go of the people, the Hamas doesn't let the people that they have hostages go, there's going to be a price to pay. I did change that word, just so you know. But guess what happened? Just like in the days of Ronald Reagan with the Iranian hostages, he said, if they're not released, first thing I'm going to do is order the military to go get them. Isn't it amazing that before President Carter was out of office, they let him loose? It takes somebody who's willing to go to war and fight and win, not just fight, but win. We're going to put tariffs on Canadian goods and goods from Mexico and goods from here and there. Yeah, look how fast they caved. Less than 12 hours, Canada and Mexico were saying, okay, we give, we'll do whatever you want. China is backing up. Japan is scared to death right now. They ought to be. Can I tell you something? We have to understand something. It takes somebody with strength to bring peace. You don't get peace by being a whiny baby wimp. Amen. A spineless liberal does not have peace. They create war everywhere they go. Isn't it amazing? It's the liberals and the whiny babies who are the ones that are protesting. Now, that wasn't even in the sermon. I don't know where anywhere in the Bible that says you're supposed to feel something when you get saved. When you get saved, there's no such thing as a feeling attached. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to go a step farther. I see no place in the Bible where the Bible says there's a certain change that has to take place to know that you were saved. You say, well, God says that if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things, key word there is become new. It doesn't say all things are new. The word become is in the linear tense. It means be becoming new. They're becoming and becoming and becoming and becoming, and it's a process of growth. It doesn't say immediately everything is new. You see, God tells us, by the way, I don't care if you felt something or if you didn't feel something. If you felt something, I'm glad. If you didn't, I'm not sad. You see, it's not about feelings. It's not about change. Now watch this. God tells us, though, that if you get saved, peace is available and so much more. Look at Romans 5 again. Therefore, being justified by faith. Everybody look at justified by faith. That means being what? Saved. We are justified by faith, right? Now watch this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not say that we have peace with everybody around us. It means everything is settled between God and us for eternity. And we have peace knowing that no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven when I die. I am sick up to here with people being taught that, well, if you get saved and you don't have certain changes, then you really didn't get saved. That's work salvation. Amen. That's as wicked as the Catholic Church. Amen. That's as wicked as the, what do you call those slappy happy people, Patrick? Happy clappies, all right. Sorry. Slappy happies or something like that. Be healed in the name of Jesus. To think that you have to do something to keep your salvation is work salvation. I'm going to go a step farther. For you to think somebody has to show you that they were saved by what they do, you're judging them by works and you're as bad as the devil. You have no right to judge any human being's salvation. What about the thief on the cross? He had no time to do any works. And Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." I've led people to the Lord that couldn't even talk. They were dying. I led a man to the Lord in California, one of the first men I ever led to the Lord that was dying. Literally in an oxygen tent. Crawled under the tent with him. I mean, that's a long time ago. I said, "Can you hear me?" He didn't move. They said, "He can't move anything, but he can squeeze your hand a little bit." I put my finger in his hand. I said, "If you can hear me, squeeze my finger twice." I said, "Good." I said, "Are you ready to die?" One for yes, two for no. I said, let me tell you how to get saved. I went through telling him as a sinner. Do you understand that? One for yes. Jesus came and died for your sin. Do you understand that? One for yes. If you died without Christ, you're going to go to hell. Do you understand that? Yes, and he wouldn't let go. I said, are you willing to trust Jesus and what he did for you to take you to heaven? He squeezed my hand, would not stop. I said, I know you can't talk out loud, but in your heart you tell the Lord something like this. I led him in the soul winner's prayer. I looked up and there was tears running down the man's face. They said he shouldn't be able to cry. I said, he just got saved. That's enough to make anybody want to cry when you're that close to hell. By the time I left Long Beach Hospital and drove back to the church, which is about 25, 30 minute drive, he'd gone to eternity. I no sooner got back to my office and the hospital called and said he had just passed. He didn't have time to do anything. But I believe that man's going to be in heaven someday. I believe when I get to heaven, William Shannon's going to walk up to me and say, thanks for sticking your head under that oxygen tank that day. I really believe it. Now, can I tell you something? We want to play God. How about we just worry about our own life and not worry about everybody else's? You never have to wonder if God is going to do his part. He will always do it because it's part of his word. You can't lose your salvation because God said, if you got it, you didn't get it on your own. He gave it to you. Everybody listen to this statement. You had nothing to do with being born. Just like you have nothing to do with being born again except receiving it. Oh, there are some that they're conceived, but they're not physically born. But they're still a human being that went to heaven. Yes, sir. So who are you to judge the fetus? Everybody doing okay? This is why salvation is based on what God does, not what we sinners do. I'm tired of Pharisaism. Well, they said they believe, but by how they live, I don't know. Well, by how you're saying it, I don't know about you right now. Who died and left you God? Our peace is not based on us. Our peace is based on our faith in Jesus Christ, who gives us peace with God. You say, well, the peace of God that passeth understanding. Yeah, the peace of God, not your peace. And the only way you get his peace is having been right with him. So, God tells us that getting saved brings peace. Can I tell you something? If you don't have to wonder if you're going to go to hell when you die, that'll bring some peace. If you don't have to worry about eternity, you ought to be real thankful. I feel sorry for these people that think you can get it and lose it and get it and lose it, or you got to do something to keep it. God help us. No wonder they live life like a yo-yo. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. God tells us that being saved gives peace. I'll find some religious person someday and they'll say, well, you're one of those easy believism people, aren't you? You just believe once you get it, you have it forever. I said, you betcha, Chester. They said, well, it's not that way. I said, show me hard believism. Brother Steve, they've never been able to answer that question. Well, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. Okay, let me ask you one question. If I have to do all those things, why did Jesus Christ have to come and die on the cross? Yeah. Oh, for our sins. Oh, so what he did wasn't good enough? If I could get it by what I have to do or what the church has to do or I have to do to the church, then why did Jesus have to come at all?
Right. You're right.
It is not by what we do, but by what he did. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, justified by faith in Christ, he has the peace of God. Folks, once you're saved, guess what? You're always saved. A couple weeks ago, I flew down to Tampa with my dad. I got on the airplane. I didn't have to worry about ending up in Los Angeles. I bought a ticket to Tampa, not Los Angeles. They said, you're on flight such and such. We're going to be taking off, landing in Tampa at such and such time. Guess what? I didn't worry about landing somewhere else. I bought the ticket to go to Tampa. Guess what? I went to Tampa. Then, a couple hours later, turned around, got another plane, flew back to Baltimore. Now, wait a minute. If the airline industry can get me from point A to point B, don't you think God can get me from here to heaven?
Amen.
He's got a better record than the FAA,
right,
especially out of Reagan National. Some of them went to heaven out of Reagan National, amen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, can I tell you something? I was thinking, Miss Loretta, about Buck. I remember Loretta called me one Saturday morning. I was out making visits. She said, Brother Bush, Jimbo's brother Buck's about to die. I'm afraid he's going to die and go to hell. You need to go talk to him. Well, when Miss Loretta speaks, you do what she says. Amen. I learned from Jimbo. Amen. She'll slap you upside the head. Now, wait a minute. She said, now, preacher, I got to tell you something. He's mean. He hates preachers. He's shot at preachers before. I said, well, he can't be too awful bad because he's bound in a nursing home, so I don't think he's got his gun with him, so we should be okay, and I got mine with me. I think I can outdraw a sick guy, amen? I said, it'll be okay. She said, now, he's probably going to cuss you out. I said, Loretta, I've been cussed out before by you. I mean, I'm teasing. I said, that doesn't bother me. I walked in, Jimbo's sitting there, and he said, preacher. Old Buck's eyes went. And I said, he said, what are you doing here? I said, I came to talk to your brother. He said, okay. He said, Buck, this is my preacher, Brother Bush. He said, preacher, this is my brother Buck. And he walked out of the room. I thought, you dirty little coward. Leave me here all alone. I started talking to him. Boy, he didn't want to talk. He had already lost one leg, about to lose others. I started to talk to him. He'd sit up. He'd start laughing. He said, you're different. I said, yep. We started talking guns. He said, do you carry? I went back like that. He said, what you carrying? I told him. He said, I didn't know there was preachers like you. I said, Buck, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, no, I'm probably going to die and go to hell pretty soon. I said, do you want to go there? He said, does anybody? I said, no. I said, will you let me take my Bible and show you something, how you could know for sure you're going to heaven? God wouldn't let me in heaven. I said, if I show you in the Bible where he said he would you? He said, yeah. I walked him down the Romans Road. Tears pouring down that man's face. He asked Jesus Christ to save him from his sin.
Amen.
We talked again for a while. Shoot. I didn't know anything about Buck. I walked out, Jimbo sitting in the waiting room, coward. He said, preacher, how'd it go? I said, your brother just got saved. Really? I said, he did. Thank you, preacher, thank you. Well, I didn't know this. He was so addicted to alcohol that the doctor had to prescribe it for him in the nursing home. Same thing with his cigarettes. Buck walked into the room I did not, or Jimbo did. I didn't know this till the next day. He said, you go down there and tell them at the desk, I don't need that liquor anymore. He said, I just got saved. He said, I don't need it anymore. I came to church the next morning. Loretta's, we were over in the luxurious accommodations over at Aiken Center. She come up them steps. She said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. Buck called me his preacher. I went back, saw him the next week. I think Brother Barnes went with me that week. Talked to him for a little while longer. Man, he was my buddy. I think he died 2 days later. 9 days before he went to heaven, he got saved. I preached his funeral. I think we had 30-some people saved at his funeral. There were more guns than people. I ain't kidding, am I, Miss Loretta? There were people getting saved all over. Can I tell you something? That man died with peace. Peace with God. You don't always see those kinds of changes, but thank God when we get to see them. Had there been no change, guess what? Buck still would have died and gone to heaven. That's what you got to understand. Let me show you what happens here. At salvation, we get peace with God. We don't necessarily get peace with everybody, but we get peace with God. Our eternity gives us peace. Salvation settles the issue. Turn to Romans chapter 10 for a second. Look at verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Look at all the people that went to church today. They took sacraments. They, you know, where's my glasses and where's my cigarettes and all that other stuff. And they did all the things that necessary according to the church. And they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They got ashes smeared on their head. They got sprinkled and poured on. They gave money, they lit candles, they blew candles out, they up and down, singing, amen, all the other things. And guess what? They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now watch this. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The answer isn't religion, it's Jesus Christ. It's our submission to his righteousness and giving up our own righteousness. And when we do that, we get peace with God. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. No matter what good we do, it's not good enough. By the way, if we could get to heaven by works, there's no peace. Because we can't have peace with other sinful men, how could we have peace with God? Number two, after we have peace with God, watch what happens. Our faith then gives us access for grace to stand. Look at verse number 2. By whom also we have access. Oh, the word access. That means it's like a door, right? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now look at me. Once you get saved, God gives us grace to stand. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We don't get saved by our works, we get saved by the grace and the faith that God gave us. Romans 10:3. God given to every man the measure of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that what? And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has given to every man the measure of faith. I don't care where you go in the world, every human being has a desire to worship something. Because of the seed of faith, the measure of faith that God has put into the heart of every human being. Now watch this. Once we put it in Christ, God gives us grace to stand. Say, preacher, how do you get through all the things you get through in life? Because I have peace with God and he gives me grace to stand. Man, it took a little extra grace to get me to stand after I broke my heel. But we have grace to stand now, amen, on 2 feet. That means I can take whatever the world throws at me. I can take whatever they throw from the world at me. I can take the disappointments in life. I can take the hurt and pain of life. I can take the pain that is associated with death and sickness and disease. Say, preacher, does it feel any better? No, but I know that God has given me the grace to stand. Amen. Too many times we want to focus on the problem and not the grace. I've said this over and over and over and will till I die. Getting God's grace is sweet and wonderful. Needing it stinks. Amen. If you're in a place where you need God's grace, you're not in a good spot. Amen. But when you get it, there's nothing sweeter. Nothing at all. But I'll be honest with you. I don't like needing it. I can take failure as long as I got grace. I can take sickness as long as I have grace. I can take all the problems that get thrown at me as long as I have the grace to stand. How'd you get it? I got saved. And the Holy Spirit of God works inside to give you what you need to stand most. I can't tell you that every day of my life is real easy. Monday was one of those days that I wished I hadn't got out of bed. It was just one phone call, one problem, one thing after another. I remember by 9 o'clock in the morning, I'd said, God, that's enough. Can I breathe? I'm not kidding. It was just boom, 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 boom. And I said, if you give me a little bit of grace, I keep standing, but can I catch my breath? Guess what? It's Sunday. Monday was a long time ago. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. Say, how'd you do it, Grace? Yeah, it hits. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I can get there. Our faith gives us grace to stand. Number three, salvation by faith gives us the ability to glory in ways that others cannot. Look at verse 2 again. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, I'll be honest with you, that list right there doesn't excite me. Tribulation, patience, experience, those are several things right there that, you know, nobody wants patience. You don't want the process to get them. My dad used to say, I got all my patience left. I've never used any of them. Now, wait a second. Tribulation, that means testing, turmoil, opposition. We can rejoice in God's glory no matter what's going on. I remember Monday morning about 9:15, I shut my door and I said, okay, God, we got 15 minutes, just you and me. I'm going to talk to you about how good you are, because it sure is sucking down here bad. And I told God how good he was for 15 minutes. Can I tell you something? I wasn't thanking him for everything that had just taken place in the last several hours. But I was telling him how good he was. All of a sudden, answers started popping up. Getting through the problems. Say why? Because I took time to glory in him, not the situation. That's what it takes. It takes you focusing on God, not the situation. You see, we have the only real God. I said a little while ago, I think, as I prayed, we don't have to pray to a statue.
Amen.
Don't have to pray to something that man made. We don't have a false God. We don't have a dictator or a politician. Thank God for God. We don't have a man-made concept of God. We have the God of the universe who created all things. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. I can rejoice in the Creator. Why do you think I love seeing the sunrise every morning? I love walking out on the porch here and standing and looking out, watching God paint, and he says, I got you today, son. Let me show you what I can do. Not a painter in the world can do what God can do. I know it's kind of silly, but every year for the last several years, I've given out those calendars. But can I tell you something? Every time you see it, you see the work of God. There's a reason I do that. There's a reason I need that. Say why? Because sometimes that's the only time I'm seeing him work that day. Because the devil's working so hard against it. You know, we can rejoice that the Creator, the only God, gave us our salvation. We're going to spend eternity with him someday. God said we're to rejoice and have joy in his glory. Not in our situation. In his glory. But then he says we can rejoice in tribulation. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's a different level of Christianity. It really is. People who work for their salvation say tribulation is God's judgment. God's judging me because I did something wrong. No, it could be that you're doing something right and the devil doesn't like it. One of the things I thank God for on Monday morning, I said, God, well, I know the devil's not happy. I'm doing something right. Just because it's not going right doesn't mean God hates your guts. It could be that the devil hates your guts. Have you ever thought of that? The devil's mad and I am glad. He lost the soul he thought he had. Maybe we ought to realize some of these problems come because we're going the right way. Let me tell you something. Do you know what friction is? Friction is when you move one object against another in an opposite direction. It creates heat. If we're going the right direction, Brother Steve, that means this. The opposition's going against us and it's going to get hot every once in a while. You see, sometimes that heat going against us means we're going the right direction. You look at it, God hates me. No, you're just going the right direction. Everybody else is going the wrong direction. Keep on going. Keep on trucking. You'll get through it. You see, people who, we can rejoice in the opposition because it shows us we're going the right way, not the wrong way. Look, the day before, we had people saved, visitors in church, God worked, full altar. Do you think I was disappointed? No. Saved people realize that the worst thing to happen to them is to stay here. Heaven isn't so bad. One day we're going to blow this popsicle stand, amen? But until then, we got to take the opposition. But as long as we're going the right way, everything's all right. That's why these churches that are, I got to be careful how I illustrate, because the one I'm thinking of right now, I should not say in public. Any dead thing can float downstream. It's the only way I know how to say it without getting in trouble. It takes something alive to go against the current. If it's dead, it's just going to keep on floating and follow the way. That's the way religion has gone. It's just floating down, following the path. Well, I don't know about you. I don't want to float. I want to go upstream. I want to get to the source. Boy, that's good stuff. God says we can rejoice in patience. Now I'm about to preach at you. Hang on. Strap in. Patience means this: God's timing, not yours. God's timing, not yours. Quit putting God on your watch. My wife and I have learned through the years, don't try to get ahead of God. He'll change the time. Now, I live a very scheduled life. I really do. I'm one of those people that I get up about the same time every day. I go to bed about the same time every day. I eat at certain times every day. I do certain things. Everything's got to be done on time, not late. My deadlines are due long before the project's due so that I'm never late. I believe in scheduling and planning. I believe that's ethical. I believe it's right. I believe it's scriptural. I believe it's godly. And if you slide by the seat of your pants, eventually something hangs out. Amen. Plain and simple. But guess what? I'm not always on the same page of the calendar as God is. Everybody doing okay? And there's times I get in a little bit of a hurry. And he's put me to the test many a time. I'll say, okay, God, it's all yours. You figure it out. I'll keep doing what I'm supposed to do. It's amazing. As soon as I give it over to him, it doesn't take very long and it's fixed. But it didn't happen when I wanted it to happen. Amen. Say, what is that? I have to trust God's timing over my timing. Works salvation people force God into their timing because it's dependent on them, not God. I told somebody this week, I'd rather be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Matter of fact, I've told three different people that this week. I'd rather be doing what I'm supposed to be doing in a place that God didn't want me doing it than to be doing nothing, being in the place God wants me to be. I think if I'm preaching, winning souls, witnessing, preaching the truth, and I'm in the wrong spot, God will forgive me. But if I'm in the right spot and I'm not doing anything I'm supposed to be doing, I'm probably not going to enjoy the trip much. So it's what we're doing that's more important than where we're doing it. Everybody understand that? Maybe we just ought to be concerned with the what and let the where take care of itself. Did you know you can't witness to the wrong person? Man, I've been given addresses, and the person I went to see doesn't live at that address. But I've won a heap of folks at the wrong address. Say, why? I don't say, well, I'm sorry, see you later. No. Door's open, might as well talk. I may have got the wrong address, but I got the right house. Just because it's not going the way you planned doesn't mean it's not the way God wants it. Patience. Then it says experience. We can rejoice in experience. Folks, I've seen God work so many times, I know how to be patient and wait for God to work. I've been through it enough times, I can truly say, God, can you do it again? We're going to see him do it again. God, will you do it again? Will you do it some more? It's not a matter, oh God, would you? No, he will. Would you do it again? Yes. You see, it's not based on our goodness, it's based on his goodness. Amen. It's just like our salvation. Say, preacher, how come you think you have the ability to help so many people? Because I've helped so many people. Some of you men do electrical or HVAC or whatever. You're good at it because you've been doing it so long. I've been helping people live life, make decisions. I've seen when they made good ones. I saw when they made bad ones. I've seen the series of decisions they make where they end. I've seen their lives end up in certain ways. And I've seen it for thousands and hundreds of thousands and probably millions of people. Can I tell you something? I've learned a little bit more about life than most people. That's why I feel like I have the authority with the Word of God, living life by the words of life. Guess what? I can help people. Not because of me, because of him. It's not just my experience, it's the experience of others. You know, I don't have to get drunk to figure out that's stupid. Amen. I don't have to smoke cigarettes, die of cancer to figure out that's not real bright.
That's right.
I don't have to chew tobacco and spit that nasty stuff in a peanut can and put it between the seat and like my grandpa used to do. Oh God, August, 100 degrees out. In a Chrysler Volare station wagon. No seat belts back in the 70s. My brother here, me in the middle, and Grandpa up front. He's driving down the road. We're going fishing. He picks up that peanut can. With the old mail pouch. Well, he got most of it in there, but the stuff that didn't. And he opened that can up, and I don't know how long that can had been in there. But you couldn't open up a casket and stirred it up and it smelled any different. Oh. Nobody wanted to sit by Grandpa that close. Yeah, nasty stuff. Oh, but what I wouldn't give to hug his neck again. I remember the day he gave it up. I remember the day he gave it up. It was the first day I preached. He was on the bus with me in Mexico. The only decision made on that sermon, he decided to never chew tobacco again. I didn't even preach on it, but God got a hold of him. Huh. Rejoice in experience. Not based on our goodness, it's based on his goodness. God is faithful, not man. Next, we can rejoice in hope. Based on the truth, not pie in the sky. Listen to this statement very carefully here. We're not supposed to hope for the things we want. We're supposed to hope for the things God says we're to hope for. I don't hope somebody wins the ball game tonight. You know, one of the things I used to think is pretty silly. Two Christian schools playing a ball game. And everybody's, God help us win, God help us win, God help us win. God's in a pretty bad spot right there. Did you ever think about that? I never one time prayed before a ball game saying, God help the best team win. I just prayed for everybody to stay safe and keep a good testimony.
Amen.
Say why? Because I don't think God cared who won and lost. I think he cares about the lives of the people playing. Far more important. And the character learned. Yeah, I think it's pretty bad put God in that kind of spot. You know, because we all know we're sinners, we all have no hope in ourselves, but we sure can have hope in the Word of God and God himself.
Yes, sir.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Can I tell you something? Maybe we ought to put our hope in the right place. not hope we get a big tax check back. By the way, if you're hoping for that, come see me. Let me help you with your finances. The goal is not to get anything back. It's to owe nothing. Amen. Well, I can get money. That means you've let the government spend more of your money than they should have.
Amen.
You've listened too long to what the world says. You're getting money back. No, you shouldn't have had it taken away.
Amen.
The goal is not to get a bunch back. The goal is to break even. Everybody doing okay? You think you've played the game, you've lost. Man spends his whole life working for peace and never finds it. Scripture in Jeremiah says, peace, peace, when there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. They're searching for peace. Can I tell you why? They're searching for themselves. You don't get peace with everybody else till you have peace with God. It's plain and simple. When we have peace with God, we can have peace with everything else. Can I tell you something? When you got saved, it was like going to a buffet. You paid one price, but everything on the buffet is available. You might not like it all, but it's all available. Say, well, I'm going to try this. Try it. God said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have this, and then we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and we have this. We have access by our faith. Can I tell you something? Why don't you enjoy the whole buffet? Go try something. My wife and I were on our cruise in Hawaii. I said, why don't you try some of this? I don't know if I was, just try it. We already paid for it. You don't like it? Send it back. Get another plate. I said, what'd you eat? Everything, because I couldn't taste anything. Man, I was trying Indian food. What do you call that stuff with the curry? It does kind of funky things to your taste buds when you can't taste, but didn't taste bad to me. I don't even know what some of the stuff I ate, but it went down the hatch. You say, why? I'm there, paid for it, might as well try it. Everybody doing all right? Now, they had some things on there I wasn't trying. Tell you why? Mm-mm. No, calamari's good, but they had, I forget what it was, squid ink something or other. I'm thinking, yeah, I ain't eating nothing with squid ink. It just didn't sound appealing to me. I didn't want my tongue to be black for the rest of the trip. You know, see all the dummies that tried that one. There was all kinds of weird stuff, but I'm not afraid to try it once. When God saved you, he opened up the buffet. Let's partake of the whole thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Peace? Yep. But with peace comes an awful lot more. Jesus fought and won the victory to give us peace. We get saved. We get our peace settled with God. But boy, he opens up the buffet and there's a whole lot more to feast on. Maybe we ought to decide to start feasting at the buffet.